15th chapter, 1 Samuel. And we're going to read verse number 13. We've been kind of going down through here in the life of Samuel and seeing how he's been dealing with Saul. If you remember, you know, we came to this portion of scripture, the 15th chapter, it deals with where Saul was instructed by the Lord to go out and utterly destroy the Amalekites. He was told to destroy them completely, utterly destroy them. That meant everybody, everything. And of course, we find that Saul went and he spared Agag, the king. And also there was some sheep and oxen that was spared, and there was reasons that was given, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But in other words, he didn't completely obey God. He didn't do exactly what God told him to do. And of course, Samuel then is dealing with this. Samuel is the man of God in Israel at that time, and he's dealing with Saul concerning this disobedience. And so that's kind of where we pick it up. In verse 13, it says, "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Now we find Saul coming in and saying, "Well, I've done exactly what God asked me to do." And of course, he didn't. He didn't do all that God had asked him to do. And I get to thinking about this, and I'm trying to look at it from Saul's standpoint. He's trying to, I suppose, make himself look good. He looks at it and says, you know, well, I did what God wanted me to do. I went and we destroyed the Amalekites. But there was some points in there that he did not do. He did not kill King Agag. He did not kill the sheep and the oxen. They kept those. And I get to thinking about it from a personal standpoint and from our standpoint as people of the Lord who love the Lord. How do we treat the Bible? How do we treat God's Word? Do you ever give much thought to that? I mean, is it any different? Is it any different than King Saul here? When King Saul went out to fight a battle, he was told to utterly destroy the Amalekites. And, of course, he didn't do that. And, in fact, there's one place we'll see here in a few moments that God called that evil. He said he did evil in the sight of the Lord. I mean, God said to Saul, you did evil. It was wrong. You didn't do what I said to do. And then I get to thinking on practical, you know, us. When we know the Word of God, when God says things in the Word of God, and we don't do all of the Word of God, or we don't do this which God says to do, is that just as serious? I mean, don't you think it is? I mean, you know, I look at it and I think, is it any different for King Saul as it was for us? You know, and I look at that and I begin to think about the seriousness of knowing what God says in His Word and then not being willing to do it. You know, that becomes pretty serious business. Because God still looks at that today. It's His Word. He's given us instructions in His Word. And when we're told something, doesn't God expect us to do it? And doesn't He respond to us not doing it the same as He would have to Saul? Amen? So, again, it's something, it's practical truths to me to bring down the Word of God to us and say, you know, this is serious. This wasn't just put there as some story for us to put in our mind as a history lesson. And this is what happened, Saul. This is what happened to Saul. You know, he did this. Shame on Saul for what he did. Well, how about us? When we know, you see, the Word of God, you see. And you think about that and think about how what it means today to stand for the Lord. You know, we've got a real anemic overall in America today. It's really what I call an anemic Christianity. Christianity is not anemic, but the practice of it a lot of times is anemic. And I think about, what does it mean to stand for God? I mean, doesn't that have to come down to practical truths in our life? If we're going to stand for God, doesn't that mean we're going to stand for the Word of God and stand for what He says and do what He says and be the kind of people He wants us to be? Isn't that what He expects of us? Amen? So again, it's just one of those principles, and that's what we try to do in this here study of 1 Samuel, is try to pick out some principles and truths from the Word of God that affect us. What's God saying to us about that? It isn't just learning about Saul or Samuel. It's learning about us. What does God want for us, you see, and for us to do? Then in verse number 14, he says, and Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ear, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" That lowing of the oxen is just the sound that the oxen would make. And here Samuel comes on the scene, and he said, "What's that I hear? Where'd you get those sheep at? Where'd you get those oxen at?" See, it took his ear real quickly. You know, and here Saul is saying, "Well, I done everything. I done just exactly what God said for me to do. I went out and destroyed the Amalekites." He said, "Well, what's the sheep and the oxen doing? Where'd they come from?" You know, it's almost like, and I'm sure that most of you in here has probably had this happen to you. It's almost like the little boy that ate the chocolate cake and denying that he eat it, but it's all around his mouth. Have you ever seen a little boy do that? Huh? Or it doesn't have to be a little boy, maybe a little girl. Amen. Huh? Amen. I remember back when I was just a little boy, my brother Delmas was home. He just got in from the Air Force. He made a career out of the Air Force, but he was in for a furlough, is what I'm trying to say. And Mom had some cupcakes made. And this is terrible because she had to hide things at times because there was eight of us all together. And there was hardly anything that she could keep somebody wouldn't find. And Delmas was going, he said he was leaving. He was going uptown somewhere, you know, and he had this hat on. And it was sticking way up. This hat was really, he just fairly had it kind of on. It was one of these hats, you know, like this. And he had this hat on, and Mom looked at him and said, "Delmas, what have you got under that hat?" "Oh, nothing, Mom. I'm just getting ready to go." And she went and pulled it on. There was two cupcakes sitting on top of his head that he had swiped. And the bleating of the sheep, the lowing of the oxen tells its tale. It's kind of like, be sure your sins will find you out. Amen. So here he was. I've done everything right, Saul says. I've done it all right, but all at once they hear the bleating of the sheep and the sound of the oxen. And he knew immediately he had not destroyed all of it. Amen. Your sins will find you out. Amen. So we find there a principle that is good for us to be reminded. Folks, our sins will find us out. Amen. I mean, that's just the truth of the scripture. And it's good for us to know that. So it's better to keep away from sin. Amen. Better to not do these things that goes against God's word. But anyway, then we find in verse number 15, he says, "And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." Now, again, I want to make mention of this, but I think we did this 2 weeks ago. Brother Smith was here last week, but we did this 2 weeks ago and mentioned the fact, though. But let's just remember, what he was trying to do, what Saul was trying to do, was blame it on somebody else. If you look in verse number 15, "And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." If you'll notice here, he began to try to blame this on the people. Okay? Now, if we was studying some on Wednesday nights, you know, about Moses and Aaron. And you remember how Aaron, when he made the golden calf, you remember who he tried to blame it on to? He said, "Moses, you know these people." In my language, we would say, "Moses, these people are a mess." And that's what he said. "And you know, they just wanted me to make something, so we threw it in the fire and it just came out a calf." But if you will watch through the scriptures, through the Bible, you'll find out in the scriptures many, many times, over and over again, the principle there is that people, Bible characters, will try to blame somebody else for their sin. Now, folks, we have to look at that and say to ourselves, do we do that? These are wonderful truths, wonderful principles. Do we try to look around and say, you know, somebody else did this and that's why it happened. It wasn't me. We have got to remember something, folks. We've got to quit blaming everybody around us and look to self. You know what? If we goofed, we goofed. Admit it. Just admit it. You know, and isn't that the best way to, and rather than saying, you know, somebody else did this, and now that's the reason this happened, that's the reason everything's in such a mess, because somebody else did it. Why don't we just say, you know what, I goofed, I sinned, I done wrong. Why don't we say that? Amen? You know. Let me share something with you. In marriage, do you know what that's one of the major problems in marriage is, that where a husband and wife will not just simply say, you know what, it's me, it's on my shoulders. It's the always trying to blame somebody else. It won't work, folks. It won't work because there's always the battle. Sure, I know that dear wife does not do everything she should do. I know that dear husband does not do everything like he ought to do. We know that. You know why? Because we're all human beings. But you know what? We can't continue to say it's his fault or it's her fault. Why don't we get us straightened out? Just work on us. Oh, you'd be so surprised what God could do in our life if we would just begin to look at it and say, you know, I just need to straighten out me. Instead of she or he or somebody else. Why don't we just straighten out ourselves? Get ourselves straightened out. Amen? Don't you think that'd be a good idea? Well, I think it would be. I think that's exactly one of the truths that God is trying to teach us here, you know, in the life of Saul. And Saul was so good at blaming the people or blaming Samuel. Remember back when Samuel didn't get there as when he thought he should have gotten, so he went ahead with the sacrifice and he began to blame. He even said then he blamed Samuel for it. He said, you wasn't here on time. And he went against, and he'd went ahead and sacrificed the sacrifice when he was not supposed to do. And then even then, he tried to blame the people again. I'm saying, if you're in the Bible, when you go through the Bible and you begin to read, look for that principle. Because one of the hardest things for we human beings, and I want to hang my hat here a moment, but it's important. One of the hardest things for we human beings to do is just simply say, it's right here, it's me. Me. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. Amen? And boy, if we'll just take that principle and learn that, because that's a great principle. It's a great precept in the Bible, the Word of God. God warns about it over and over and over. Amen? Now, there's no doubt there's sometimes that people do things that they shouldn't do, and it affects us. But you know what? Even there, I believe God is trying to teach us. God is training us. Amen? To be more like him. Amen. And that's one of those Bible principles that's very hard for us to take. We don't want to do that. We want to blame somebody else for our problems. So again, what a principle. What a great principle to learn from the Word of God and begin to put the blame where it belongs, back on us, and get us straightened out and let others get themselves straightened out. Amen. Now, if you'll notice here, As we talked about the why he did wrong, and as speaking of Saul, again he did this, but trying to blame the people for it, and he used a good excuse for it. He said, "You know," he said, "just think about it. They could use this as a sacrifice for God. They kept the sheep and the oxen, and they could then take that and sacrifice that to God." Good deal, amen? I mean, isn't that something? They could use it for good. You don't be careful. It's exactly what we do. We try to justify something that God has told us to either to do or not to do and say, well, we'll make good out of it. If we do this, which God has told us not to do, we'll make good out of it. No. God wants us to obey. He wants us to obey him, you see. And God won't accept that excuse. Look at verse number 16. And Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. You know what Samuel finally done? Samuel finally said, now, again, this is paraphrase. He said, Saul, shut up. Be still. Saul, quit your talking and listen. I've got something to tell you that God told me to tell you. There's another principle. You've dealt with people. You've talked with people. My wife and I made a visit the other day. From the time we stepped inside the house, on the time we left, this person never shut up talking. No, I'm serious. Not for one moment. Talk, 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 talk. And I mean, not for one moment. I mean, you didn't get a word in edgewise. And this person is a lost person. And we was trying to witness to her, and we could not even get a witness in. She just talked all the time, interrupted you and talk, talk, talk. Well, let me say something to you. Sometimes that's a defensive mode that people use. As long as they're talking, you can't. And let me just give you a principle, okay? It's good to listen to what other people has to say. We wanted to listen to her, but we wanted to also say a few things she needed to hear. I'm not making fun of her. I'm really not. She needed a witness. I'm simply saying to you, you know, a lot of times people will talk and talk and talk and talk because they know if they're talking, you can't. And so finally, Samuel looked over to Saul and said, be still. Stay. I've got something to tell you that God wants me to tell you. Amen. Again, if you can learn, and maybe you already are, if you can learn to be a good listener, you'll be one of the greatest helps to people that this world has ever seen. People do need you to listen to them. I mean, I think it should be a two-way street, but people are out there that need you and I to listen to them. Amen? But there comes a time, as it was here with Saul and Samuel, when Samuel said, listen, the word of God is more important than what you're saying. You're giving all of these excuses for why you did this. Now it's time for you to be still. And let me tell you what God said in his word. Amen? So we find that what he did was this. He reminded him of some things. He reminded him of some things that had happened in his life. And looking back in Saul's life, he said, I want to remind you of some things. Look at verse number 17. Samuel said, when thou was little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? I want to look at first at the fact that he told him he was anointed king over Israel. He said, don't you remember, Saul, when God anointed you king? Don't you remember that? I want to say it to us. Do you remember when Jesus Christ saved your soul? Do you remember that? You see, we get saved by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the only way of heaven. There is none other. Amen. Jesus Christ is through him. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's it. So as he was saying to him, I want you to remember, Saul, when you was anointed king. Well, I want us to remember when we got saved. We should remember that. We should not forget the day we got saved. So he said, he was saying to him, you remember back when you was made king? And secondly, if you'll notice, what he said was, and also, do you remember, Saul, how that you was humbled in your own eyes? He says in verse 17, when thou was little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? Don't you remember how it was? In fact, over in 9th chapter, let me just read that real quick, what Saul said in the 9th chapter of 1 Samuel in the 21st verse. He says, and Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribes of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? You see the humbleness here in Saul when he was asked to be king. He told he was going to be king. Well, he said, "Who am I?" He said, "Am not I a Benjamite?" He said, "Well," he said, "the Benjamites are the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribes of Benjamin. Wherefore then, why are you speaking to me?" Remember when you got saved and how you felt the humbleness of the fact that God would save you? God would save you. And how humbled you felt that here Jesus, the Christ, would die on the cross for you. Why would he even do that for us? Amen. You know, when we first get saved, isn't there a difference a lot of times? So when maybe years pass and all at once we get a little proud and we forget that we were nothing, absolutely nothing. And God saved us. And when you first get saved, you know, you feel that humbleness. You mean God, Christ died for me? You mean he would do that for me? Amen. So he was saying to Saul, don't you remember back what you was when you was first anointed king, how you felt and the humbleness of it? And then we look in verse number 18. He said to him, "And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed." Not only did he save our souls, and we look back and remember the humbleness of that and how little we were and Christ would die for us. But notice what he gave to Saul. He gave him a mission to do. And let me say to you, God has given every single one of us a mission. Didn't I send you? Sure he did. To be a witness for Jesus Christ. You and I are not saved to sit. You and I are not saved to forget all of those that out there that need saved. We're sent with a mission to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? See, it's not enough to say, "Well, I'm saved, and yeah, I remember back how humbling it was to get saved." But there's a mission to be sent on. And God has sent each and every one of us on that mission to get other folks saved. Amen? Sure. So there again, there's some principles there that God is trying to teach us. He says, he teaches us about Saul, sure, and Samuel, sure. But he's teaching us. Don't forget the day of your salvation, folks. Don't ever forget it. And remember how you felt when you were first saved. Amazing. Salvation is amazing. And remember, he gave you a mission. Sent you on a journey. Amen. It's a journey of life to tell others about Christ. Then in verse number 16, he says, "And Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on." So he begins to tell him some things, and some of the things we just mentioned. But in look in verse number 19, "Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" Now you remember, as we read in these scriptures, he was instructed, go out and destroy the Amalekites. Amen? He was told to do that. And if you notice, his basic problem was, the whole thing boils down to one thing. He disobeyed God. Now folks, I think you all know this, but I'm just trying to stress some things. That's the sin that God is displeased with, is disobedience. Is it not? You see, and when it come down to all of this, well, what did you do wrong, Saul? Yeah, I didn't kill the sheep. I didn't kill the oxen. I didn't kill King Agag. I didn't do this. Yeah, I didn't do all these things. No, you know what you did? You disobeyed God. That's the essence of the problem. He disobeyed God. Folks, when we do that, when we don't do what we're supposed to do, let's look at it for what it is. It's disobedience to God. Amen? Sure it is. It's disobedience to the Lord. And we ought to take that just as serious here as we found Samuel taking this with Saul. It's disobedience, and that's where you really came down to it, Saul, is what you did was you disobeyed God. That's the bottom line. You disobeyed God. Over in verse 26, look at it. He says, "And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel." What was the problem? He rejected the word of God. He disobeyed God. That's the bottom line. See? It's not all this other stuff. We disobey God, you see. And then in verse 19, look at even he did it so with fervor. If you notice here, he said, but didst fly upon the spoil. In other words, that when he's speaking about flying upon the spoil, you went after it readily. I mean, you knowingly what you was doing, you was excited about going after the spoil, you see. Not only did you disobey God, you done it in a fervent manner, see. And then in verse 19, he gives an evaluation of what this means. In verse 19, he says, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. That's where I was talking earlier about how did God look at it. God said that's evil. Now, what I'm trying to do, folks, is as I'm trying to pin this thing down to help you and I both understand something. When we go against the word of God, in God's eyes, is that evil? You see, we're living in a day when everybody wants to just figure that they can read the Word of God and just go on, live the way they want to and discern it the way they want to and whatever, and do whatever they want to do. No, 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 no. None of us can do that. What the Bible says, God means. He means what He says, and He says what He means. Amen? So, when we don't follow the Bible, we know what it says, we don't do what it says. Is it evil in the sight of the Lord? Sure. Sure it is. And you know what we need to do? We need to get that down in our heart. Is everybody in here always going to obey God? Is there anybody in here who's going to be perfect and always obey God? I don't know of any. I've not met any. But here's the thing. When we don't, we need to get it straight with God. We need to get it corrected. We need to get it forgiven. We need to get it before the Lord and admit to God we've sinned. We're going to find Saul here in a few moments if we get there. Well, we're not going to get there. It's almost time's up. But you'll find Saul admitting he sinned. But if you get a chance, read that, because we're going to have to close here. But you get a chance, read that, because he says, yeah, I have sinned. But it wasn't a meaningful statement. If you'll read that, he didn't mean it. No way under the sun. All the things after that shows he did not meet it. He was just, pressure was on him. And so he was saying, you know what, I've sinned here, you know. Amen? But he didn't really mean it. If you'll read it, you'll find out. We'll pick it up next week. Okay? All right. Thank you.